Hi, it's Phil Hendry. All the character voices that you hear on the show today will be character voices. They aren't real people. They are all going to be performed by me.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm Margaret Gray.
And I'm General Galen Shaw.
I'm Bud Dickman.
I'm Robin Leonard.
Here now is the master of ceremonies, the man, the myth, the legend, the guy that created us. And to this day, we owe our existence to Phil Hendry.
Thank you. All right, so,
you're not going to what? You're not going to comment on that pint? That was clean? It was precise?
We worked on making it tight, and...
Yeah, but, well...
Don't, Bud.
I'm not... When you said tight...
What about it?
Well...
All right, you worked on making it tight?
Yeah.
We worked on making it tight.
We worked on making it tight.
All right, you make... So what about it?
So you're not going to mention, you're not going to say, yeah, that was,
it was nice, and I noticed that there was no extra commentary, and,
No, what about the part, you know, the man, the myth, the legend?
Okay, you know, you'd have to lay it on that thick.
Well, Phil, you know, we get the sense here that we do need to lay it on that thick, you see?
Now, Margaret.
No. We do get the sense that we do need to lay it on thick because we feel that you feel...
We feel that you feel you're not getting the credit you're due.
No, that isn't true at all.
Oh, come on, Mr. Hendry. Now...
Bud, I'll take it from here.
No, hold on, because I've been working for this guy a long time. I've been working for him longer than anybody here.
I beg your pardon?
I've been working for him longer than anybody here.
You mean you're walking for him?
He's been working...
He has. He's been working for me since August of 1990.
Yay! All right.
What about it?
So I think I know. This guy...
This guy what?
We think that you have got an ego thing going on here. That's why you're starting the program with, oh, hey, I created everything.
No. That's not it.
Well, if that is not it, what possibly could it be?
I'll tell you what it is. This show sounds like it's a bunch of people. Okay?
Yeah.
And it ain't. It's just me. And so I can say that, and I don't think it really, you know, we can sort of throw it away during the course of the show, and I don't think people are really, it doesn't sink in.
No, it goes over the head.
All right.
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it. So to start the show and say, this is in fact me doing all these voices, kind of reinforces that.
Yeah, but to what end, you see?
Look, Dickman, don't get all fancy.
No. To what end are we talking? You know, years ago...
Would you shut your face from here?
Hold on.
Get all erudite on me.
Well,
I mean, to what end?
Yeah.
I mean, what's the purpose?
The purpose is to let everybody know what this is. You know, let them know what it is. See, I'm not really in the business of necessarily. I mean, it's one thing you can say. Well, they're fooled into thinking it's a bunch of people. That might have worked like when we were taking phone calls. You know, but it doesn't give you any real... You're not getting any bang for your buck with it when we're just doing a show like this. So I tell people that it's me doing a lot of voices.
Now, the whole thing, the taking the phone calls thing, which I know you've explained a million times, why are we not doing that again?
Yeah, because, you know, some people...
Why are we not doing that again?
I know you've explained...
I've explained it a million... We're not doing it because, A... It's just not a format that is supported very well because you have to have a really good screener. You have to have a sales department. You got to have affiliates. You got to have live affiliates. It's a format. It was a moment in time that we created that satirized talk radio.
Yeah, but why isn't it continuing?
It's not continuing with us because what it takes to do is a certain level of commitment from radio stations, especially when you're syndicating. They got to be, first of all, they got to clear you live. You know what that means?
Uh-oh.
No, what does it mean?
Clearing you live, they gotta play you live. You have to be on live.
What about?
You gotta be on live, bud. You know what I'm saying?
As opposed to what? Pre-recorded?
Yes, as opposed to pre-recorded. A lot of stations, well, don't want to put you on live. They want to put you on, you know, when they want to put you on. They want to move you around. They want to put you on in the middle of the night. They want to. There's no one consistent time. You can say, well, okay, I'll be live in the middle of the night, but they want to move you to someplace else. The other thing is that you need a lot of affiliates. You don't have to have millions of them, but you need to have a nice base of listeners to begin with. And then, of course, you need to have good technical people, good screeners and good engineers. And I found that beyond the you know, markets that I was in, major markets and national syndication, it just isn't there. And the other thing was that talk radio is really more moving in the direction of serious talk radio. It's not personality radio. you know.
Well, yours, you know, but you were doing, you know, you were like doing, you were doing a spoof on it, right? You know, a spoof?
Yeah, you were doing the spoof film, see?
Yeah, I'm doing the spoof. Yeah, I know, I was doing a spoof. But that doesn't mean,
guys, here's no spoof.
Well, that's what you guys are giving me, the spoof thing, yeah. But the fact is, it was not a serious or talk radio effort, and they didn't know what to do with it. You know, there'd be all this serious talk radio, and then here come Phil, and it would piss off all the people that were there to listen to the Joe Blow, you know, fascism hour, whatever the hell they were doing. So,
well, there you see, you're talking about right wing radio, Phil, and you're probably bitter.
I'm not bitter at all. All I'm saying is that there was no environment.
Well, you're sure you're not bitter over the right-wing radio?
I'm not. Look, who isn't sorry to see personality-driven radio leave and just go away? Who isn't sorry to see that happen? I mean, do you really want to sit and by the way, today we have, as you want to hear him, Bud, who is it?
Yeah, today we'll have, as you like to hear him, Sean Hannity.
Oh, so this, you're leading up to this, I see.
Oh, I didn't lead up to it. You guys are asking me.
Well, we did bring up the whole, you know, the fake voice that we didn't go into the right-wing radio.
Yeah, I think that's on you, Mr. No, it's not on me. You guys brought it up. The whole conversation from beginning to end is on you guys. But it does dovetail very nicely with Sean Hannity.
All right, now getting back...
No. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm not talking about it anymore. Okay, so today on the show...
All right, so great. You're just blowing the whole thing off.
What else can I say, Margaret?
Well, getting back, just simply this. That the idea of the spoof... It was very cute, you know.
Yeah, they were just spoofing people.
Let me tell you about the...
Well, Jesus H, Phil.
You're getting all flustered.
Phil, when you get that look on your face...
Wait. In this day and age, everybody's spoofing everybody. You got 90 million YouTube channels where they're pranking and spoofing and goofing and yanking and...
And sucking.
And blowing.
And sucking and blowing.
All right, so in other words, there's too much of it.
Just, it's everybody's doing it. You know, everybody's doing it. So I think it was, like I say, I think it was a moment in time. And who knows, we may find a way to do it again. But I don't really, I got to be honest, I don't give a shit, you know.
Well, right. See, there you go, right there. You don't give a shit anymore, you know.
I don't, honest to God, you know. I don't, I doing that show was, it was a good show, but it was every day you had to do two things. You had to draw the audience, you had to draw the callers in. But at the same time, you had to create the comedy so that the audience knew what kind of a show it was. And if you didn't walk that fine line, you fell off in one direction or the other. Either it was too funny or it was too serious. And every day it was walking that line. And, you know, and like I said, you're working your ass off and you have a infrastructure, a radio infrastructure that is, they find it easier to sell the National Nazi Hour with whoever it is, you know.
Well, Phil, you're indicting everyone as Nazi and fascist and Nazi and the fascism. And I think that's a bit...
Might be a bit extreme.
Well, whatever, man. I'm just telling you. It's like...
Talking about the right-wing radio.
Just telling a political talk. Let's call it that. Political talk. So there you go. And I think my show, the other thing is more popular with guys and people who are in radio and in entertainment... It was probably far more popular with them and understood by them more than the average listener, because the average listener, I don't think, ever had a chance to really get into what it was, you know? The effect that our show had, and I'm very proud of this, is I think it destabilized talk radio to the point where I don't think anybody is fooled any longer that talk radio is some forum for the average person. I think it's a forum for... a certain level of bullshit. You know, people like to hear themselves talk, and the people that call the shows, but they're not representative of everybody else.
You say that, Henry, but what you did do is you left talk radio, you so destabilized it, and stuck it right, you know, you put it right up, if I may say that, you put it right up talk radio's butt, okay?
Yeah, put it up talk radio's butt and left it there.
Well, you know, that's a vile way of putting it, but in a lot of ways, it's true, you stuck it up there. Well, what was your point?
My point is this.
Well, my point...
No, hold on. My point is this. You... Forget it.
Yeah, I don't even know what you're saying. So, and I'm doing your voice.
Look, what, Phil, the point is that you shoved it up radio's ass, and in the process, you killed it.
Yeah, you killed it.
All right, I killed it. All right, so what do you say we go out and do some traffic here and...
You really don't give a shit, do you? Just to use your vulgarity.
No, I don't. All right, let's go over to...
And when did this...
Will you come on, Margaret?
Sorry.
All right, let's go over to Bob Bakian and find out what the traffic's about here. Bob, go ahead.
Hey, Phil, right now, the 15 freeway, we're going to have a live sign. As I told you yesterday morning, the CHP's going to be out there until about 10 o'clock. So they flackened, put out a pair of slacks and let's swing down there and swing it for the fences. It's completely free as you're homebound. And find out about you got to buy one, get one free as you got that clam putting it up there, okay? What's going on with the Skyboy?
I got a 5-7, and Mr. Clean is in. Okay, Mr. Clean's down there with the bald head and the hot band. He's got that earring in. Looks every 100 yards of homosexuals out there. So the front line of the fast lane up in the homosexuals only. Let's go to the Boyd Sky Mini's weekend.
I don't know what the goo-goo da da wa wa wa. I don't know the goo-goo da 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 da. Well, together with the bucket da 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 da.
Chewbacca!
Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. I just thought I'd throw that in there because you're not allowed to sing about cigarettes or even sell cigarettes any longer. My name is Dr. Cal Cavigan, and I treat lung cancer. Well, I don't sell cigarettes. In fact, you can't sell cigarettes legally on the air anymore. My name is Dr. Cal Cavigan, and guess what I do? You got it. I'm a doctor. I'm a lung cancer doctor, and I take your lungs out if you smoke too much.
For 35 years in the Clarendale area, Dr. Cal Cavigan has been taking lungs out and giving people another chance, a new lease on life.
Breathe free again. Get rid of lung cancer and your lungs if you have to. We put in two brand spanking new lungs, free of charge, but of course the labor is well in excess of seven figures.
Dr. Cal Cavigan, lung cancer specialist.
Winston tastes good like
a cigarette should.
At Sweet Farm, you'll be wheeled in and taken care of by our very, very professional staff. Then you'll be wheeled out and fed your gruel and put back in bed for the afternoon rest. Sweet Farm is a place to retire to. It's a place to let off some steam. It's a place to put your head under the covers and pretend there's nothing there. Come to Sweet Farm. We're covered by all kinds of insurance, all kinds of plans you don't even want to know.
Sweet Farm, the retirement specialists.
I'm Mary. I'll be your greeter, and then they put me back in the box with the gimp.
Sweet Farm.
Back here, world famous Phil Henry Show, and as we have said, we are going to have As You Like to Hear Them.
As You Like to Hear Them is a special interview feature, and today we will be interviewing Sean Hannity, As You Like to Hear Him.
Now, in this interview, we'll be interviewing Sean Hannity, quote unquote, but he'll have to answer all of our questions honestly. That's why we call it As You Like to Hear Them. These are people, they are very popular people, in many cases very famous people, but they simply must answer our questions to the very best of their abilities, Phil.
All right, and today, as we mentioned, Sean Hannity joining us from New York, and there's been a bit of a dust-up, not much of one, but a bit of a dust-up. Sean, there at the, where are you, Sean?
Hi, Phil.
Where are you at?
I'm at Carnegie's Rail.
Okay, there was a little bit of a dust-up between you and Megyn Kelly. Can you tell us about it?
Megyn Kelly doesn't support Donald Trump, and I support Donald Trump publicly, and she has taken some shots at him, and it makes me look bad. So I told her, I had to respond to her publicly, because the public comments she's making about Donald Trump makes me look like a, you know, like a chump, and so I said something to her.
But I mean, seriously, do you care?
I mean, I understand where she's coming from, but we all got to eat. We all got to swim in the same water. But Trump is mine, okay? He belongs to me. He is my candidate. I latched onto Trump first. What she did is she carved out the niche of being the woman that can't stand Trump. He called her the S word and the slut. I don't know.
He called Megyn Kelly a slut?
I don't know, Margaret. I'm just... So the niche that she carved out is she's the one that Trump hates, and so she baits him, and that's fine. That's fine. But we're both on the Fox News Channel, which is a conservative news channel, and the more she's bagging on Trump as we get closer to the election, the more it cuts into what I have carved out for myself, my niche, which is to support Trump.
All right, but what? So what? Doesn't that promote both of you?
Well, the problem comes in. If she keeps cutting him down and just sticking it to him, and she knows, people are going to start thinking, well, what kind of a pussy, is Sean Hannity, and why isn't he answering back? And
all right, so it's the perception of you.
It's the perception of me. So I got to say, stop doing that. And then on top of that, if she keeps bagging on him, and then he loses the election, then it looks like she was effective, and it looks like my support, you know, didn't mean anything. And so I went to her, and I said, look, you know, Megan, I got no problem with you, but you see what you're doing, and she's all, well, you know, that's tough, you know, good luck. And I'm like, good luck? I said, you're cutting my you-know-whats off. I said, seriously, you know, and she said, hey, you know, that's life in the big city. You, me, and baby make three.
All right, so what you're saying here, Sean, then, is that Megyn Kelly doesn't understand. She doesn't understand that while you're giving her due to her little niche as being the woman that Trump hates, she's not giving you your niche as the guy who supports Trump.
Well, yeah, but it goes even more than that. Because her attacking Trump not only could possibly hurt his candidacy, he may not get elected, and then it reflects badly on me because I was out there going, yeah, hey, Donald Trump, we, yo, yo. And then the next thing you know, well, big deal, a lot of good you did, Hannity. He just got his, excuse me for saying it again, Margaret.
There's no need in apologizing, I understand.
All right, well, he just got his ass kicked by Hillary Clinton, and you didn't do diddly squat. And
you didn't do admitting that people are saying that to you.
Yeah, my listeners every day on
the talk show.
On my talk show, yeah. So it's a tough one.
So what would you rather have happen? Would you rather have her? Well, yeah. What would you rather have happen?
What I'd rather her do is attack Trump, but then when I say, "Hey, back it off," then she, you know, backs it off, and I know that a lot of women are going to say, well, that'll make her look like I, you know, I'm trying to work it out so that I can tell her, hey, you, shut your mouth because you're talking about my man, because people expect me to say that. And then she'll go, ooh, or, I don't know how she's supposed to do it. I wanted to call her up and go through some ideas, but she's not picking the phone up.
Well, I mean, what? If this is all just a big act, why didn't she pick the phone up?
It's not a big act. I just want to get, that's not a big act.
Well, if it's not a big act, what do you want to get there? It sounds like you want to get some parts down.
I just want to get, but yeah.
But what do you want her to do?
I'm just asking her if I say to her, if she says Donald Trump called me a whore and,
well, I don't think he called her a whore, but he did say, she said blood coming from everywhere.
Yeah. Blood coming from everywhere. And Donald Trump said that to me. Then I say to her, hey, you got it all wrong. Trump didn't mean, you know, out of your, you know, your, if I can use the Margaret mumble.
Go ahead.
Trump didn't say she had blood coming out of her vagina. He said she had blood coming out of your you-know-what or whatever he said, you know.
I said coming out of whatever.
Okay, coming out of whatever. So, all right, so, and I said to her, hey, that's what he meant, back off. She should go, ooh.
Well, how? What do you mean, ooh?
Well, I don't want her to say, okay, yes, Sean, because women are going to think that's too sexist. And I don't want her to say, like, no, I won't, because then that kind of stalls it. So she needs to give the indication to people she's going to back off, but it's got to...
Well, I don't know. You've got to go on, ooh. Most women are going to think that sounds weak.
Well, I'm doing the best I can here. You know, I don't... this has turned into a real cluster bang. In the last 2 months, I've been propping Trump and propping Trump and propping Trump. Excuse me. You know,
I know it's been very stressful, Sean. I understand that. You've got not only the radio career, you have the television show, which, by the way, congratulations on the ratings.
Well, you know, the ratings are good, but you understand I'm hanging my future on this, because if Trump doesn't get elected, now I'm going to look like just some cranky creep on TV. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just going to be just crying about Clinton. I don't want to keep crying about Clinton. I want to say, hey, and now, ladies and gentlemen, President Trump, because that's my in, okay? Let's just...
Now we're getting to it, okay? I knew that there was an ulterior motive here.
It's not an ulterior motive. Not ulterior.
Well, yes, it is, because you want a position either with the White House, in the administration...
No, I do not.
Then what are you talking about?
I just mean it gives me the chance to be a friend of the president. I can go to the White House... I can sit down and break bread. We can golf. I'll be a friend of the president, you know.
And that is good for your...
Obviously good for my profile. Very good for my profile. It makes me a... It gets me above guys like Beck. Jesus Christ, that Beck, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to get around to Jeff Beck if we could.
What do you mean Jeff Beck?
I mean Glenn Beck. What? When you said it gets you above Glenn Beck, what I mean...
Say that again.
He's saying when you say it puts you above Glenn Beck, what do you mean?
Well, right now I'm kind of swimming around in the same garbage. And with all due respect to Glenn, he knows it's a big sewage. It's a big pus. It's a pump. It's just a sewer with back and creeps like that, you know, and I'm swimming around with all these creeps. Now, yeah, I got the bigger show, and I'm on the network, and I'm this and I'm that, but I'm still just kind of down there in the filth. And if I'm the friend of a president, and it's President Trump, and I'm going to dinner, and I'm going to breakfast there, and not breakfast, I mean breakfast. And
it's all right. Phil does that.
All right. Okay, but you understand what I'm saying, Phil?
Yeah. In other words, you are not just another right-wing talk show host.
There you go, right there. I'm not just another slob with a right-wing show. Albeit, you know, the higher-rated one, albeit the one on the network. I'm not just one of these creeps. When was the last time you and I saw each other?
It was at that R&R thing.
Right, at the Embassy Suites in New York. You remember that? I mean, we're hanging out at a bar, you know.
Well, I mean, you were there as kind of a mentor to some of the younger talk show hosts.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, I'm at an Embassy Suite bar. I mean, what is that? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but Sean, that was where they had the event. You could have been anywhere.
But the fact is, I'm hanging at an Embassy Suite bar, and I got a lot of these, you know, female listeners. God bless them. They're wonderful. But, you know, I can't have it. A lot of them are just a little on the hanky side. And
you know something, Sean? I had no doubt you were a pig.
Ms. Gray.
No, I had no doubt you were a pig, but putting it down to the looks of your listeners.
I can't have it. I can't be at the Embassy, you know.
Well, tough stuff. They're at the Embassy Suites bar, so what?
Phil, you understand, right?
I understand to the extent that you are at the Embassy Suites for a conference, so you're naturally going to be at the Embassy Suites bar.
And you see the ones that were hanging off me? Because we went up to that other bar.
We went up to the Tribeca.
Right, and they were hanging on me.
Well, what do you want me to tell you, man?
Here's what you can say to me. Hey, Sean, I hope that Trump does get elected president. Not do. I hope this.
You hope Trump does get elected?
Yes, I hope Trump does get elected so that you can be at the White House and you can be for the first time in your life.
All right, so it's a highly personal thing.
Of course it is. Of course it is. For the first time in my life, I can say I've done something really special.
Let me ask you a question, okay?
All right, Phil, don't get into your liberal bullshit, because I...
No, but I want to just say something. Donald, of all the guys to suck up to, excuse me for saying that...
Well, all right, so, you know, did you have to say that?
Isn't that what you're doing?
Yes, but did you guys have to point it out?
All right, of all the guys to you know, whatever, befriend, couldn't you have come up with a better guy, you know?
What guy is... What conservative is going to get elected president? Huh? You got Obama. I knew way back that guy was a world beater. Everybody thought that Obama was a disaster. I knew that guy was going to win two terms. The minute I put my eyes on him, I knew this guy was good for two terms. We were never going to get the White House. So I swore to myself, the next Republican that comes along that can win the White House, I'm going to be all over him like stink on you-know-what.
On stink on shit.
Okay, there. The dumbass said it. Stink on shit.
All right, I don't like Bud being called a dumbass.
All right, I'm sorry, Bud. I didn't mean...
No, that's true.
But, you know, you're right. And here comes Trump.
Why not Ted Cruz? Why not...
Well, I thought about Cruz. And I liked Cruz a lot. But I could see that Cruz was... You know, Cruz is not liked by people. And then I thought about, for about 2 seconds, Bush. But Trump, it kept coming back to Trump. This guy had it. You know...
Now, Donald Trump right now is, in the poll that I look at...
Oh, yeah, this is the poll that, Sean, this is the one that Phil looks at. The betting odds.
Yeah, what is it with you and the betting odds?
Because that's where the money is. And where the money is the real opinion. You can tell people, ask people, who do you like, who do you think's going to win? But where they put their money is what their real feeling is. And most people are putting the bread on Hillary Clinton. So how do you feel about his chances?
Well, here's what I feel. I think that the people that are putting what I really feel, I feel like he's got that, you know, he's like about a 25% chance to win. But we know long shots have come in before, okay?
When's the last long shot to win a presidency, you know?
When's the last long shot to win a presidency? See, you sounded like that guy in The Godfather, you know, on the day of your death.
Okay, Sean, you know what he's talking about.
All right, I mean, the last long shot.
Yeah, that's a very good question. Who, Phil, do you know?
Well, all right, hold on. Bush was not a long shot. What about Clinton?
No. Clinton went in, I think, with a pretty strong, was it Ronald Reagan?
Ronald Reagan, you couldn't. People were so sick of Carter. What about Richard Nixon?
I wouldn't say he's a long shot. Is it Truman?
Oh, give me a break. Are you telling me you got to go all the way back to Truman?
I mean, didn't they say they went to bed? The Chicago Tribune had the famous Dewey wins the presidency headline. I just think polling now.
Yeah, but you're not talking about polling. You're talking about where people are going to bet.
Look, say what you want, but where the money is, and people don't throw their money away. A lot of people do, but when it comes to gambling, when it comes to actually making money by betting money, people, you know, work real hard at trying to keep their money in their pockets. And I believe that with Clinton at this Clinton's at 75%. You realize all these polls?
Look, don't. I don't want to listen to this bullshit, because I tell you right now, Phil, I like Trump. I don't want to hear your negativity. I don't want to hear all this bullshit. I've been going through enough of this. I've been going through living hell. And the Roger Ailes thing, you haven't even asked me about that.
Well, I mean, that's not your problem.
No, but I mean, that guy was a mentor of mine. He's gone. Goodbye. So Fox is a very scary place right now. It's very scary there.
Well,
it's very scary, Margaret. And I got this guy, I got Megyn Kelly crawling up my ass. I don't know what this guy Shine wants. And we're talking about a name. You ever heard? How about that, General?
Yeah, just called me Shine, huh?
Yeah, I said that to him one day in a hallway, and I was laughing, and he just kind of stared right through me. I said, Jesus, this guy's a barrel of laughs. So, and O'Reilly is off the hook. And, you know, Greta Van Susteren, she left while the getting was good, man. I mean, she got off that ship like a... She could smell it going down, man. She's one of the first rats to get off that ship.
Oh, so you think Greta is a rat?
Oh, it's Greta, huh? You know her?
No, but, you know...
I know her. I can call her Greta. To you, she's Miss Van Susteren.
All right, so you think Miss Van Susteren is a rat?
Yes. Yes, I do. And I think Roger Ailes, I think what Roger should have done is kept his big fat mouth shut. I told him, I said, you know, you're acting like a real swinehunt. And he said, why don't you just take care of what you take care of, Hannity, okay? Wipe your nose, blow your nose. Go ahead. He used to belittle me and put me down. And I said, let me tell you something, Fatso. The day is going to come. You know,
you called him Fatso. What do you say to that?
Oh, what's he going to say? I'm one of his stars. I said, I'll tell you what, Fats. The day will come when these broads are going to turn on you.
So this is how you guys talk there at Fox.
Margaret, just listen to me. And he said, oh, what do you know? You know, F off. And he'd go into his office and light one of his farts or whatever. The guy was...
Take it easy, will you?
I mean, the guy was a mental case. So he finally gets run out of there. And now I'm fresh out of friends, man. Fresh out of friends. And O'Reilly, that guy will shank you in the back the minute you turn your back. Everybody thinks O'Reilly's such a stand-up guy. That guy is no good. He's no good. Take it from me.
All right, Sean Hannity, folks, on As You Like to Hear Them, that's, you know, a pretty heavy statement to go out with. You want to possibly...
I want to kind of smooth it out a little bit?
Yeah.
No. God, tell you again. Bill O'Reilly will stick it in your back the minute you turn around. All he cares about is himself. All he cares about is that crap can show of his, the fact, the spin fact, whatever the F he called, the stupidest ass show. God damn it.
All right, Sean.
Hey, Sean, you know, no offense, man. Well, you're giving away steaks on the air. You sound like some real weird ass going, okay, who wants meat?
You know,
that is pretty true.
You know, but you know, you guys, with your juvenile, good luck with what you're doing, Henry.
Hey, I'm not putting you down. These guys are.
Well, I'm giving away steaks because we got steaks, okay? We have access to... Do you guys have steaks?
We can get steaks. Big deal. I'm just talking about you saying, hey, I've got meat.
Is that supposed to mean my penis? Go. Forget it, man.
Sean, you can't hang up.
I know.
But I appreciate you being here on As You Like to Hear Them. Thank you very much.
Okay, Phil, I want to say goodbye.
There is Sean Hannity.
Well, interesting. Always interesting, As You Like to Hear Them, where they have to answer honestly.
Yeah. So do you think he answered honestly, Mr. Sarah? Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely answered honestly. That's exactly how I figure things are, you know.
Now, there's no real feud going on with Kelly.
Well, not as far as he's concerned. He's just trying to say to her, hey, you know, we can be interested in different things. I mean, she doesn't like Trump. He does. But it doesn't have to be a feud between the two of them. He's been trying to set it up so that they're in contention, but he's trying to coordinate it, and I guess she's not exactly
She's not playing ball, as it were.
Not playing ball, no. All right, coming back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, we have with us Dr. Ron Turner. His brother Kevin is in Miami. His brother Kevin is head of the village council at a town called Watton, which is a suburb of Miami, and is sending the family some photographs, General.
Yeah, well, Ron Turner's brother, Kevin Turner, who is, as I said, an attorney in Miami, every time there's a tropical storm or any kind of a high wind, he always takes a photograph of himself leaning into the wind as far as he can. And Ron is going to be on to talk to us about that.
What?
What does that mean?
Did I just tell you?
All right. Okay, we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And that was, Okay, Ron Turner. Also, Larry Grover on the public humiliation of Mayor Giuliani, whatever that is. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Watches, sneakers match with the Parkers. But it's like being overstaffed at a boxing. General Galen Shaw for the Backstage Pass. The Backstage Pass is your entree to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show's 20,000-plus hours of classic archived material, the daily podcast, the video casts, all of the other video casts, television shows, television pilots, radio and TV interviews, and all of the magnificence of media that is Phil Hendry.
Yes, with the Backstage Pass, you are a member of our BSP family, a very special person. And now, yes indeed, you are also having a front seat to our live streaming events.
Coming up on Sunday night, we will be live streaming General Galen Shaw,
which is me,
and R.C. Collins, and we'll have him on later too, and they'll be live streaming the debate of the presidents, debate of the presidential candidates. They'll be commenting on it, and it'll be live streamed.
Yes, so anyway, join us, won't you, for the Backstage Pass reverie and fun and jollies every single day of your life here at philhendryshow.com. Get yourself a 1 month Backstage Pass or a 1 year Backstage Pass, or don't do anything. Just walk away, all right? Let's just pretend like we never met.
World famous, that's very nice. The world famous, well, world famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com.
And the Ron Stat with a lobster. Throw off a balcony. Just so happens.
The hell is this?
Algae, now that Eminem.
Oh, this jackass Eminem. What is this guy? It's E-M-I. Now, E-M-I-N-E-M. I got in all kinds of trouble with my grandkids. I said, hey, Grandpa, it's Eminem. I said, give me Eminem. Like Eminem.
Like the candy.
Yeah, like the candy in there. No. And I said, I don't know and I don't care. And I went and I sat down in one of the chaise lounges outside. I had a magazine and an iced tea, and I pulled my shorts off, all right?
My God, in front of your grandchildren.
They're not little children. They're grown. They're about 25, 26 years of age. I've always sunbathed in the nude. What's the story?
You're kidding.
No, hey, don't give me that bullcrap. Don't give me the child molest thing.
No, I'm not saying that. I just didn't know that you were a sunbather.
Listen, Patsy and I are both sunbather. Sunbeaver.
Sun beaver.
I'm gonna kick. Hey! Your ass. Hey. Patsy and I are sun beaver.
Sunbathers.
Sunbathers from way back. So I go in the backyard, I pull my shorts off. I'm sitting there nude, and the kids have already gone, but their friends are still there. The Diego sisters, and the two of them are tennis players, and they're looking at me with everything hanging out. And they're like, Jesus H, perfection. I'm kidding. Get out of here with that story.
Were you really in front of the...
No, I wasn't.
Well, that is good, because I was shocked.
Hey, Margaret, give it a rest, okay? As I said, Patsy and I have been sunbathers from way back.
You're kidding. I mean, seriously? Like a nudist camp and everything?
Yes.
Where?
The various nudist camps from around the state of California. Pismo Beach used to have quite a few.
Pismo Beach? What's that? What's that about?
What do you mean, what's that about?
Got my name with Pismo Beach?
Pismo Beach?
Pismo Beach. P-I-S-M-O, bud.
What's it mean?
That's the name of the beach, man. What do you mean, what's it mean?
I ain't never heard of it.
That was what is it?
You want to say that again? This is what you sound like.
Where is it?
Where's Pismo Beach, Phil? Up near San Luis Obispo.
It's south of San Luis Obispo. On the coast. All right, it's one of those beach towns you a lot of times you miss. But Pismo Beach used to be quite the hangout, right?
Oh, well, Pismo Beach is where they had the clam bakes back in the 50s, a lot of the Sandra Dee movies, you know?
Yeah, I think like those old surf movies.
Oh, no, not the surf movies, but a lot of the, you know, guitar on the beach, clam bake, and the whole, you know, the whole clam, whatever clams represented in the late 50s, Pismo Beach was all over it, like stink on...
Shit.
Right. What's so funny?
I don't know. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Always great to have you guys with us. On the newsmaker line, we got Dr. Ron Tarner from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Mountain Meadow, Colorado. And the good old Doc is with us. You have family, I know, in Miami, Doc. How are they doing?
Oh, I think everyone's going to be fine, Phil. I think we're a little concerned about Kevin and the family. Kevin has two little ones, but we have talked to not only Kevin but his wife Catherine, and I think everyone's going to be fine. But when I made the phone call to him earlier this afternoon, we were talking about that family tradition. You know,
now what this family tradition where you guys do? What do you do?
Well, what is that? Ron Dickman?
No, it's Bud Dickman.
I'm sorry, Bud Dickman. You sound a little bit different.
I'm the same me.
Now you sound exactly the same. Okay. What it is?
What is this? We heard that he leans into the wind.
Yeah, Kevin started this tradition when he moved down with the family to Miami in the mid-90s. That every time there was a tropical storm, every time there was a hurricane, he would have his wife, Catherine, photograph him leaning as far into the wind as he could. So, you know, when there's a real strong wind, you can lean. And we have a photograph of him during a tropical storm, Gordon, which was in the late 1990s. And he was leaning so far forward, he was almost, his nose was almost touching the cement. And I wrote him back, and I said, you know, not good enough. And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, I want to see your face get right up, get your nose right against the cement. Yeah, that's it, you know, just as a kind of a joke.
It sounds like you're taunting him.
Well, I was a little, you know, brothers taunt each other. I said, you've leaned all the way over, but you haven't leaned all the way over where your nose is right up against the cement, like you're almost kissing the cement. I said, yeah, you know, and I put at the bottom of the card, yeah, that's right, that's it. That kind of a thing.
Well, what does that mean?
It means get your face into the cement. It's not good enough, you know.
Is this a competition?
Yeah, first thing I thought about, like a competition.
What do you do? Do you take a picture?
Do I take a picture of what? There's three guys that just asked me questions here.
Well, I think what Robert is asking, do you guys exchange pictures?
Do we exchange pictures of what?
Of the two of you kissing cement or whatever you do.
I'm sorry. You're talking about what my brother Kevin does.
Yes. So he's sending you these pictures. It sounded to me, like it's a competition.
Yes. If you're asking him to lean over and get his nose right up against the cement with what you said, yeah, that's right. What is he doing?
I'm sorry. No, nothing. No, he's not. I'm not having to send.
That's what I meant to say. What are you doing?
No, I'm not having to send anything. I just taught him. Because he's very proud of these pictures, okay?
So he leans over in the wind and then sends the picture.
That's right.
And then you say, you just send back?
Yeah, I send back my comments, and we laugh about it. I get on the phone with him 6 months later. He said, did you see the picture of me leaning over the wind? I said, yeah. I said, but you said that was a pretty strong, like a 50-mile-an-hour wind. And he said, yes, it was. I said, well, why don't you get, you could have leaned over way, way far more, way more. And he said, what do you mean? I said, get your dough. I said, yes, and get it right against the cement. Yeah, that's right. So we were visiting him, as a matter of fact, a couple of springs ago. We went down there for my nephew's graduation. And we were kidding around with each other. We did the line from Dirty Harry, where he tells Harry to stick his nose up against the cement of the cross just before he pistol whips him.
Oh, my God, that's very gruesome.
Well, no, but there's a line where he goes, that's right, get your nose right up against the cement. And that's what I wanted from him, okay? I wanted that shot.
All right, we're talking to Dr. Ron Tarner. By the way, Dr. Tarner is a professor of astrophysics and astronomy at Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado. Has been on our program in Canada and commented a great many scientific things. We're discussing with him tonight, a family matter of taking pictures in the high wind. And, you know, we talk about the danger of that high wind down there. And I was just saying to my audience in the pre-show, when you're in a wind like that, you can really get hurt.
What? Yeah. You don't fear that he's encouraging the kids to do anything like that?
Oh, no. You know, right, look, Kevin is, he's the president of the town council. They live in Watton, which is just outside of Hialeah, Florida, a suburb of Miami, if you will. Very responsible. And a man who I could tell you, when it comes to taking precautions for the hurricanes, I was on the phone with him this afternoon. We were talking. I said, what precautions? I said, you got to send me the picture. And he said, I will as soon as I can get outside. He said, but, you know, we're boarding up the house. We're boarding up the business. And he had a situation where he had gone next door, I guess, to one of the other businesses and was pulling, you know, pulling the plywood off of their houses and taking over to his house because of the fact that he is the town council president. And I said, of course. And so he had a little bit of a...
Well, what are you talking about?
Yeah. You said that he...
Who is that?
This Robert Levy, you saying he's pulling the plywood?
You said he's pulling plywood?
He's pulling plywood off the other houses.
Yes, but that's wood that belongs to them.
He's the president of the town council. I guess you didn't hear that part. He's the president of the town council.
Yeah, so what?
So what? Well, what that means is that if he doesn't board his house up and his house gets blown to hell and back...
Well, so you're saying if he dies...
Yes. God forbid. He's my brother. But more importantly, as the town council president, they have lost the town council president. So what he did was he needed two more pieces of plywood for the exterior of the kitchen. They were kitchen. So he went next door to the guy's house. The guy wasn't even home. And he pulled some of the wood off of there. And some neighbor, some big mouth, told the guy when he got home. And there was a situation.
And see, Kevin, Ron, excuse me.
Well, you're mistaking me for my brother, Kevin. I take that as a compliment. Well,
I don't see why you would, Ron. That is a very irresponsible thing to do.
And why would that be? He's the president of the town council.
We heard the president of the town council part, but may I just say this? That is still, you know as well as I do, Hurricane Andrew, all that people were gouging each other on the price of wood. Now there's not enough wood, and now he's taking it off a guy's house. That's something that is not very neighborly. You know,
Phil, I'll just say it again. You're right. It would not be neighborly, but as the president of the town council. So let me ask you a question. Is
you keep saying the president of the town council? That doesn't mean anything.
I don't think that the man's rank as president of the town council means anything.
Let me ask you guys this. So what you're saying is, as the president of the town council, so you just said it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
It carries no weight.
Why would it carry any weight?
Okay, let me ask you this. If the President of the United States, if Obama was outside putting plywood on the White House, and he said, excuse me, and he pulled plywood off of some dump on Pennsylvania Avenue, you know, to plywood up the White House, you're telling me that it doesn't mean anything that he's President of the United States? Look.
What? Excuse me?
Nothing. I'm sorry.
Okay, Ron, I don't want to get into a big thing with you on this.
But you just did.
And you used the F word.
Well, you're not allowing me to hang up. You don't allow anybody to hang up anymore. You know.
No, but doesn't mean you have to use F.
That doesn't mean you have to use the F word.
All right, Phil, the president of the... You haven't answered my question.
President Obama is not going to be out plywooding up the White House. That would be somebody else, okay?
All right, and if they took wood off of someone else's house...
And they wouldn't do that. They would not do that, not without a whole lot of problems happening, okay? They would find wood and they would board up the White... If they ever had to board the White House up, which I highly doubt because there wouldn't be any kind of a storm like that.
Oh, okay. So in your universe, none of this touches the people that you admire, but in my universe, I'm having to pull plywood off a guy's house as the president of a town council, and I'm just saying me, but my Kevin brother... my Kevin, whose name is Brother, boy, you've got me all...
You're all in a heap.
You guys have got me jacked up.
Let's calm down. I'm not saying anything other than that your brother has every right, of course, to protect himself.
Yes, Ron, I totally concur with Phil. Of course he should protect himself and his family. But he got into a contretemps, you say, with this next-door neighbor when he pulled the wood off that man's house. Don't you see that neighbor... would get upset.
I see the neighbor would get upset, but Kevin had his ID, president of the town council, and the badge that they give you, and he flashed the badge. He said, town council president, just please clear out of my way. I asked, what did you say? I need to know the words exactly. He said, I flipped open my badge. It said, town council president, please don't interfere or interdict me. You know, and that's when the guy took a swing.
He took a swing when he heard that word.
What word?
Interdict.
What?
I think what happened here was a misunderstanding, and the next-door neighbor probably didn't know what interdict meant.
What is that? You thought it meant... He thought it meant that my brother wanted to put his dick
You know what? Thank you very much, Ron. I think we're done.
No, I want to ask you.
I think we're done. And I appreciate very much you being on the program.
Well, Phil, are you...
I think we're done. But look, I will say this, Ron. You know...
So you guys are talking to me, and it sounds like you think I'm a weirdo. That's what you've got the distinct... It sounds like the very distinct stylings and vocal elements of individuals who think the band they're talking to is a weirdo. Is that right?
No, we don't think you're a weirdo. We think your priorities are wrong, and we think your brother's priorities are wrong.
My brother is fighting for his life tonight in Miami with the wind, okay? He pulled some plywood off a guy's house, and he took some, I guess he took some plastic sheeting, too, from another house. He got some things, okay? And
well, how much stuff did he take?
Phil, I don't appreciate being spoken to that way.
I apologize. How much stuff did he take?
He took a roll of plastic, he took two plywood boards, and he took some fencing.
And that's it?
And some tape.
All right, so in other words, he was rifling some other guy's stuff.
No, he was not. And I'll say it again, and ask me again, and I'll tell you the same. You know, Pudentain, you remember that poem?
Yes.
Okay. My name's Pudentain. Ask me the same, and I'll tell you the same if you ask me the same. I don't even know what the fuck it's called anymore.
All right, I'm going to let you go, Ron.
So, please understand.
Ron Tarner, who is...
Sadly, he's very much under a lot of stress.
I think that when you're worried about family members, and let me just say this. For all of you who have family members in Florida and you're concerned with them, certainly you want to get in touch with them as soon as you can. But please understand that in all likelihood, they're fine.
Very good point, General. I would reiterate that.
I would, too. In all likelihood, they are fine.
Besides, you went all lily out of lily. Yeah, you did.
Yeah, and so what, man?
Mr. Henry's already said so what.
I thought I'd point it out.
In all likelihood, your relatives are fine. I'm sure you can get in touch with them via the phone or by way of text or by way of email. Everybody hunker down in Miami. Well, they know what they're doing down there. But the brother, Kevin Tarner, who is the president of the town council of Watton, Florida, pulling plywood off a guy's house, taking a roll of sheeting, taking some fencing and taking some tape, and flashing his president of the town council...
Well, this is why Ron got upset.
Well, it's very funny.
I understand disagreeing with it, as I do, but I don't understand the humor element. I'm General Galen Shaw, and you can bite my clank. Life's about to spill.
Oh, all right. Move away from
home. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. We'll be right back with Larry Grover. And I don't look forward to that at all.
All right, coming up on Sunday night, we have our live streaming coverage of the presidential debate. Now, when we say live streaming, if you're a backstage pass holder at 6 o'clock Pacific, that's 6 o'clock Pacific, you'll hear General Galen Shaw and R.C. Collins doing their regular running commentary, this time on presidential debate number 2. If you heard the first presidential debate, it was quite an interesting experience, General.
Well, it was not fun for me to watch Trump getting his ass handed to him. But I'm expecting a far better performance from him this time around. Join me along with R.C. Collins at 6 p.m. Pacific. Is it?
It's Pacific, yes.
Pacific time, right here at the Phil Henry website, philhenryshow.com. Live streaming coverage, and then Phil will tell you whether or not you'll hear it again. Will it be the next day's program or what?
I don't know. Because it is for our backstage pass members, we may just keep it as premium content. But be that as it may. If you are BSP, hear the live event as it happens at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. Live streaming coverage of the presidential debate number 2 right here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm Margaret Gray.
Yay! Yay!
All right, now I totally forgot, Margaret, you wanted to sing a song having to do with the, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, having to do with the hurricane. Yes, I did. This is a beautiful little number, and one that I think people will enjoy. It's a little thing from the 40s called "Button Up Your Overcoat." You belong to me.
Easy, let's go.
Don't piss me off, bud. Swear to God. Button up your overcoat. Here it is. Watch out for that weather in Miami. Button up your overcoat when the wind is free. Take good care of yourself. You belong to me. Eat an apple every day. Go to bed by 3. Take good...
3?
Would you shut your whole...
Ah! I'm watching.
Be careful crossing the streets. Don't eat meat. Cut out sweets. You'll get a pain in ruin your tum-tum. Take your spoon out of your cup when you're drinking tea. Take good care of yourself. You belong to me. Hit it.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Button up your overcoat when the wind is free. Take good care of yourself. You belong to me. And be sure to wear your flannel underwear when you climb a tree. Take good care of yourself. You belong to me. Sit on hornets' tails or on nails.
Sit on nails.
Or shut up, or third rails. You'll get a pain and ruin your tum-tum. Button up your overcoat when the wind is free. Take good care. Now watch this. No one can hit that note like me.
Yeah!
Will you cut that out?
Cut out what?
That whole yeah!
Margaret, very good.
Well, I was going to take your applause, then I hear Phil with...
Will you cut that out? Yeah, it's great. I was doing a basso profundo.
It's the basso profundo, yes. And I enjoy doing it, and that's life in the big city.
All right. Welcome back to the program here, folks. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to be joined here by Dr. We already talked to Ron Turner. We have Larry Grover on the phone, and General, you talked to him, right?
Yeah, I talked to him. What about it?
Well, you know more about what it is he wants to talk about.
Okay. Here's the story. Well, Margaret, you know, right?
I don't want to talk about it, okay? Enough of these nuts.
I know all about it.
Go ahead, Robert.
Mayor Giuliani's daughter, and I forget her name. It's like it's Julia...
Julie Giuliani.
Yeah, that's it. Julie Giuliani.
Are you sure? Are you guys messing around?
I swear to God, I think it is.
Who's talking to you, man?
I'm doing it, man. Mayor Giuliani's daughter is... Caroline, there it is. Caroline Giuliani.
It's Giuliani, for Jesus' sake. How many times I got to tell you guys?
Yeah. Sorry. Caroline Giuliani. Now, she has come out against Trump. And her father, as you well know, is a major surrogate for Donald Trump. So you can tell that that's a huge, huge thing. And Larry Grover is with us at the Perry Boys cafeteria with his mother in Alhambra, California. And we have Larry Grover with us on the phone right now. Larry, this is first of all, this is Robert Leonard. Very, very happy to talk to you and glad you could make the time for us.
Hey, it's always always a pleasure, Robert, and everybody there on the Phil Hendry Show.
So now, Caroline Giuliani, what happened?
Well, Caroline Giuliani is the daughter of Rudy Giuliani, and if you don't know who Rudy Giuliani is, then you got something. You got a brain lesion of some kind, because that's a man who I think the entire country hearkened to after 9/11, and we were thank God for Rudy Giuliani, who hearkened to him.
Hearkened to him. What's that mean?
We hearkened to him. We were drawn to him, and we sat at his feet, and we listened to him telling us tales of how when he was a kid, he survived terrorism. I don't know, but
Well, Rudy Giuliani was a great spokesperson, a leader. He channeled our feelings.
Right there. He channeled our feelings. And now Rudy Giuliani has taken on another chore. Another job, one that he is well suited for, and that is as a spokesperson for Donald Trump, who's running to become president of the United States, and God willing, knock wood, and the creek don't rise. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Now, you're talking about the creek rising for what?
I'm talking about the creek rising?
Yeah.
Yeah, God willing.
What does that mean?
The creek don't rise. Would you guys get off this kick?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, talking about a creek don't rise.
God willing and the creek don't rise is just a saying. It means we hope it happens.
All right. Now, Caroline Giuliani is supporting Hillary Clinton.
That's exactly right.
Now, what happened?
Well, what happened is that Caroline Giuliani, whose father, as I said, is one of the great Americans, whose father was a spokesperson for a wounded nation. And as Phil just said, he channeled our feelings. And we hearkened to, you know.
Would you knock it off with the hark? Larry, this is Margaret. I understand.
Don't tell me to knock it off, though.
All right, everybody be polite.
I apologize.
And I do, too. I'm just saying, all right.
Let him tell the story.
Forgive me.
Thank you. You just said that you forgive you.
I said I forgive me and forgive me.
So you're asking me to forgive you too?
No, I asked myself twice.
All right.
Just do it.
Yeah, just do it, yeah. Just do it. There are days that I would like to just do it, Phil, as in just pull the trigger, open my mouth, go, and pull the trigger.
That's a nice thought, man. We're talking about...
I'm sorry.
Talking about this Giuliani situation, how everybody hearkened to him and he channeled our feelings, and you're talking about swallowing the barrel of a gun.
Well, she's talking about forgive me, and I thought she meant me.
I did mean you. I was joking around.
Huh. All right.
Hey, everybody's loose with the F-word around here.
Now, go through it back.
I apologize, okay? How many times do you want me to say I'm sorry? So, Giuliani, and now comes his daughter, Caroline, and this girl is not supporting Donald Trump. She supports Hillary Clinton. Now, I'm on your program today, Phil, and I called earlier this morning, and I think I got Rusty. Is there a Rusty?
Who?
I talked to a kid named Rusty.
No, that was me, Bud.
Well, who was Rusty?
I don't know. I have a dog named Rusty.
He's got a little, a spaniel, right?
Yeah, a Cocker Spaniel.
Well, I didn't talk to a dog, I can tell you that.
But when I picked the phone up, I might have been talking to him.
I said, who is this? And I heard you say, just a minute, Rusty.
Yeah, I was talking to my dog.
Okay, so it's Bud.
All right.
What do you want?
Nothing. I just, I called this morning, and so it was you I talked to.
Yeah.
And I said, I'd like to book time on the Henry Show, and he says, who are you? And I said, boy, I said, my name's Larry. I shouldn't have to tell you. I said, my name's Larry Grover.
But it was a little early, Mr. Grover. I apologize.
Okay. And he immediately booked me for a 15-minute slot on the Henry Show, and here I am.
Right. So tell us...
Yeah. So I said to him, I want to talk about Caroline Gulli. I said Giuliani. He said, no, trust me, it's Giuliani. And I said, that's interesting.
How would you know her father's name? You don't know her name.
I thought it was somehow different because this girl was so independent, you know, breaking away from the family. I didn't know what to expect. I mean, it's quite shocking to hear a young woman whose father, as I said, was the spokesman for an entire wounded nation, and she comes out and within minutes takes all of that good work that her father did and just does several filthy acts on it. I won't specify which. And says she's supporting Hillary Clinton.
Now, why do you say she did several filthy acts?
She supports Hillary Clinton.
What does that mean?
It means I think that's the equivalent of doing a filthy act all over her father's reputation. Because if you think about it, Donald Trump is her father's pick for president. And when your father is Rudy Giuliani and you pick Hillary Clinton as... What else are you saying but, here, Dad, let me perform an act of filth on your reputation?
I think it takes not only a mind of a depraved imagination, but I don't think it takes somebody who's got no sensitivity at all to human beings to think that that's what that's about.
Hey, Phil, you know, you can psychoanalyze me all you want, okay? And, yeah, Mother's here, and you'll notice I've kept her off the phone because I've told her that I don't want her on the phone when I'm on the phone, or I could do something antisocial or illegal or criminal. All right? So now you know where I'm coming from.
So you threaten your mother.
All I said was I may do something antisocial. What do you want?
Oh, hey, Gloria. Larry thinks he's tough. He's not. I'm having a corned bean sandwich. Otherwise, it's very delicious at Perry Boys.
May I have the phone?
It's very delicious at Perry Boys, and I'm having the potato salad.
May I have the phone?
And I've got some fruit salad and a fruit cocktail.
The fruit cocktail's good, huh?
Yeah, very good.
May I have the phone?
And I'm going to have some iced tea.
May I have the phone?
Here's the phone.
All right, so?
So
much for the illegal act, huh?
Well, let me tell you what I'm going to do. okay? It's one thing to urinate in public. It's another thing to defecate. I'm going to defecate on someone's front lawn tonight because of what she just did.
Oh, my God, Larry, you are so disturbed.
Why would you do that?
To finally get through to somebody that mother is damaging me psychologically. Okay?
Larry, you're in your late 40s. You still live with your mother, sleeping on a service porch.
Yes, I know, on a cot. I know the whole rundown, man. I got the routine down pat, okay? I know my lines. I know which act I come in on, and I know which act I go out on. And let me tell you what, I'm not on stage for very long. And all I'm trying to say to you is this. All I want to do is go on the air and tell you that I think Caroline Giuliani owes her father, the city of New York, and anybody that read that story, an apology that she would go against her father's wishes that Donald Trump be the next president of the United States, and instead she goes for Hillary Clinton. And when I'm trying to explain that to you, mother comes on here and tells the whole world that I defecated on some guy's front lawn.
You did that, Larry.
You did that, Larry.
Yeah, I did.
Larry, you just said that you were going to do it.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
You did. You said that you were going to do it to show how damaged you've become.
All right, well, if that's the case, then that shows you how damaged I've become.
I think that until such time as you get cured, we shouldn't have you on the show.
Oh, okay. Well, there's one more conservative voice that's going to be stifled. Is that it, Mr. Henry?
I'm afraid so. You know, until...
Larry, it's the best thing for you.
Oh, yeah, sure. The only fun I have.
Larry, I think, as your mother said, it's the best thing. I think it's the best thing for our show. You feel that Caroline Giuliani has stabbed her father in the back. You feel she's...
I didn't say that. I said she's performed a filthy act on his reputation.
God, Larry. Mother, right in the middle, and I'm biting a corned beef sandwich. You can do something like that.
I don't... If you're biting into a corned beef sandwich, go ahead, take a bite.
I know what you're going to do. Take a bite. All right.
She's trapped on her father.
Ah!
See?
All right, Larry, thank you. I'll let you go. Thanks for being on the show.
Phil, you don't...
The Larry Grover interview there.
Grover, one of these people that doesn't belong on this program anymore is that guy right there. He's the guy that I think exhibits more weird tendencies than anything I've ever seen before.
Yo, he's still living with his mother.
There. He's living with his mother still, even though his wife Marjorie left him how long ago?
Almost 20 years now. I mean, the girls are grown up and about ready to leave the house, and he's still sleeping on that cot trying to get... Now, it was Clinton. Now it's Obama.
Trying to get Obama impeached.
Yeah, trying to get Obama impeached. Now I guess he's trying to get Trump elected. I don't know. And that is not to say... That is not to say that, you know, that Larry... You know, that those candidates, the men that he supports, like Donald Trump, are bad people, but it just means that he has been long on this right-wing bandwagon, man, and he's got to...
I think he's just got to relax and get out of everything that he's involved in, man. I think he needs to go down there to Miami and lean into the wind there with Kevin Turner, whatever the hell.
All right, well, all's well that... I don't know if all's well that ends well. You might want to...
Got to call him up, man. Find out. Yeah, I probably have to call a sheriff.
Larry having dinner at Perry Boy's cafeteria with his mother.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved here on Podcast One. And don't forget, coming up on Sunday night at 6 o'clock, the live streaming coverage of the second presidential debate with me, General Galen Shaw, and R.C. Collins.
Whoop-dee-doo.
You wish.